So we are continuing our series on what is the church, and today we're speaking on resources, and so money, tithing, all that good stuff. I want to start with the scripture reading. It's from Luke 11, verse 37 to 42. It says, "When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee visited him to eat with him. So he went, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before he ate the meal. Then the Lord said to him, Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." So Jesus' teaching here is triggered by a Pharisee who was upset with Jesus for not washing his hands, basically, when he came to eat the meal with them. And it wasn't about being hygienic or anything, although in this day and age, your mother's probably taught you wash your hands before your meal. Mine certainly did. But it wasn't about the hygienic aspect of it. It was the Old Testament ceremonial washing of the hands before they went in to worship God. And you would wash it as an outward sign of what's happening inside, of coming to God with a clean heart before you go into a space of worshiping Him in the temple. But the Pharisees started applying this to every aspect of their life, and they just made it like a religious rule for everything. They applied it sort of just in case, you know, they touched a Gentile in the marketplace or touched somebody that was unclean or touched something that somebody touched and then, you know. And then eventually they're just like, no, they're going to wash and clean all day, every day. So Jesus takes this opportunity to address this sort of flawed theology of theirs. He likens the Pharisees to a cup and says, you know, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is dirty. And like we would know, if we put a dish or something in the dishwasher, a cup, you know, if the outside is clean but the inside is dirty, you still don't want to drink water out of it. You don't want what its use is for. So surely the inside is actually more important than the outside. So this is what Jesus is saying with regards to possessions and finances. On the one hand, he's refusing to emphasize the external behavior over the internal. This would basically be like legalism. They're doing the act of giving their tithe, but they're not actually, their heart is not there. But he also refuses to pit the external behavior against the internal. This would be like your liberal view, where it's like, it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, as long as you do it with love. And it's like Jesus is saying, or Jesus says, yeah, rather, he says, clean both, do both. Clean the outside, have the outside clean, and the inside. Just obeying the external is not enough. Jesus says that obeying the laws and regulations and moral codes just by themselves is not enough. We also need to clean the inside. So he says true religion is living externally out of what comes from the inside, what's happening internally. Jesus then applies this principle to your financial giving, to your tithes. First, there's a couple of things here that I want to look at, and it's basically that Jesus does give external guidelines. The Bible does give external guidelines for Christian giving. And then there's also an internal compulsion that is important, an internal reasoning. And then there's a spiritual dynamic that also, like, motivates us or moves us, energizes us to give this, to do the giving. So firstly, there is an external guideline for generosity. Jesus gives us the definition of generosity through the scripture. He says, you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. So he acknowledges that the Pharisees are tithing, and this tithe is obviously 10%, 10% of what your annual earnings would be. But he says that they still should be doing both. And for example, there are a bunch of places in the Bible that do speak about this tithe. Example is Leviticus 27, verse 30. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So this tenth, this tithe of ours, is God's already. It's like it's His. The tithes were to support basically two things: the running of the temples, all the sacrifices and ceremonies and everything, and then also to give to the poor. We see this thing through the whole Bible, where Jesus always, when it comes to money and giving, it's either firstly to connect people to God, or to connect the people of God to the needs of the world. So within the scriptures, you'll see here the tithe, it's for the temple, to connect the people of God to God, and then speaks about giving to the poor. So that's connecting the people of God to the needs of the world. When God's, we'll see, like, you know, if you really think about it logically, what God is saying here is quite reasonable. Why says 10%? Simply, if we had to put it in like our terms, it's like if you had to go now and farm somebody else's land without paying them, and you just go to their land and you farm, and then you take that whole produce and you go and you're like, thanks, bye. It's like that would be basically be stealing, unless the guy's very generous and gives it to you. But in any business sense or anything, you would say, you know, you would naturally pay the owner the usage fee for the land or whatever the thing you want to loan or use. Even your banking systems is like, you know, you're going to pay a percentage to use their finance. But God says, God says that your income then comes out of the land, but that land is His. In Psalm 24:1, we see that God owns everything. God created everything. So He's the source of everything. He's the owner of everything. We are just there loaning it. And so God asks us for 10%, which in any worldly terms, if you do take in a loan, you would say, okay, that's a pretty good rate, actually. Like, if you're paying 10% back on a loan you take in, you're like, that's a decent loan or a good rate. So for us these days, it's like, you know, you can say, okay, we're not really an agricultural culture, in Pretoria at least. So it'd be like something like, you know, are you farming your mind, using your mind, or your athletic abilities, or your artistic abilities? It's like you're still using what God has given you. So God is still saying, like, there's a 10% like that He wants from that. The question is, this is like now an Old Testament view of tithing. So what does Jesus say now? What is the New Testament view of tithing? We see here that Jesus does not dispute what the Old Testament said. In fact, He reinforces it. Jesus here is addressing the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are just about the only people that He actually moans at through the Bible. It's the only ones He really like points at and says, like, you're doing this especially wrong, and literally moans or shouts at them. He doesn't yell at sinners or like people who are like very wayward. He calls them to him with love. But the Pharisees, he moans at them because he's the religious representations of Jesus, of God and the kingdom. But they have turned this into just a religious act, and actually they believe that they are being saved by these acts, which will equate to spiritual death in the end. They're not going to, you know, they teach you these ways, but actually these ways are going to not lead you to God, not lead you to salvation. Jesus doesn't say that, you know, the tenth is legalistic and oppressive and an old religious system. No, he reinforces it. In fact, he says it's actually not enough. He says, you tithe, but you neglect justice and the love of God. Don't neglect either, he says in the scripture. So he's still calling us to tithe, but he's calling us to also do justice and love God. So if you're still not sure about this, the second thing that I want to look at is what Jesus says to the Pharisees about not doing enough. He says, I'm glad you tithe, but if you don't do the other things I ask, then you are condemned. You see in that scripture that says, woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you is basically like saying, you're cursed. So Jesus kind of like curses them and says, you know, if you're only doing this part, if you're only giving the tenth, it's not enough, you're actually cursed. He says, you're neglecting justice and the love of God. He says to them, don't be hypocrites. Give of the outside of the cup as well as what is happening on the inside of the cup. If you tithe, but you know you don't pay your employees well, or maybe you're not generous with your time or your things, your home, bringing people into your home, you're not open to helping others, you know, taking time to actually be there for somebody else, but you're tithing. It's like Jesus is saying, that's not enough. Yes, the tithe you still need to do, but he's calling us to a heart attitude as well. If you're tithing out of a duty only, Jesus is saying, woe to you. He's saying instead he wants your heart as well. He wants your heart behind it. Both the inside and the outside cup are important, and that's what will give you joy in the tithing, joy in the giving, joy in your walk. It's that love attitude, loving the person in front of you. And yes, you give the tithe for the church and the poor and the community and everything, but in our Christian day-to-day walk, we are still to love those people in front of us. And then the third point, so firstly, it's just like there are external guides, the tithe, and then secondly, it is necessary to have that internal compulsion, that gladness of giving. And I'd ask you, is that true for you? Do you firstly give that 10%? And then secondly, do you give it with a glad heart? Maybe you say yes to both. Maybe you say no to either or both. Maybe you give, like every week, you give mechanically, but you would consider it a burden or you know, it's hard for you to give, and Jesus is obviously saying, yeah, you neglect justice and the love of God, like the love that God wants to work through you to others. So, seeing the love of God and his generosity to you is the key to you giving freely in yourself. To put into perspective what you have been given and how freely you can give then from that. So Jesus is not just calling us to give out of a well of nothing and say, yeah, just be happy about giving. He's actually saying, look at the gospel. Look at what Jesus has done for you. Look what God has done for you, your salvation, the love that has been poured out for you. And then give out of that, like give out of a response to that to God, and also love others out of a response to that, seeing how Jesus has loved you. The Bible shows us that we are generally have a love of money. you know, it speaks over and over again against the love of money. And, you know, I was reading this thing and it's basically saying, you know, amongst the poor, the love of money creates crime. Amongst the middle class, the love of money creates workaholism and worry. And amongst the rich, the love of money creates superficiality. And I was like, yo, that's pretty real. And when we look at that and you go, okay, how is this getting a hold of me? Whichever area, whether it's poor and you're looking for ways out, quick ways out with crime, or middle class and you just become workaholics and you're worrying and you're wanting to become, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or you're worrying about having enough. Or if you're rich and you're just living the superficial life out on your own, living like the excesses of life. All of these aspects, whether it's poor, middle class or rich, all of them, the love of money at the end of the day is a level of greed, where the money is actually controlling you and you're not controlling the money. God gives us authority. He gives us dominion over the world, and that includes our finances, and we mustn't let that control us. We have to control it. And the way to break it, the way to break this love of money or this greed, is to look at Jesus Christ, how he became poor for us on the cross, and to see the extravagance of his love for us, how he poured his love out so generously, and so too we are to do that as well. And if you say, okay, no, I'm unemployed, or I really can't even pay my rent, and I really wish that I could tithe, but I really just don't have the money, but I really would, I'd love to, you know, give this. This passage then is actually, should be comforting to you. Because it says, the inside of the cup is more important than the outside. So do you give of your time? Are you rich in Jesus? Do you have the right attitude towards money? Jesus says, when you get the money, then you can give outside, give the outside of your cup as well. But for now, then just give the inside of your cup. And God knows your heart. God knows if you really can or can't tithe. So, I mean, you're only being honest with yourself or deceiving yourself. God knows our hearts. And in Malachi 3 verse 10, it speaks about this tithe. And if we are struggling to give that tithe, this is always like such a beautiful verse for me. Malachi 3 verse 10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It's so rare for God to actually say, test me, through the Bible. Throughout the Bible, in every other aspect, basically, he says, don't test me. But in this one area, God says, test me. Let me prove myself to you. So put God to the test. Test him and see if he is not faithful to his word. I want to take up communion now.